The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, the upcoming summer holidays mean many children will be heading off to summer camps. They'll be starting GAA camps and soccer tournaments, athletics, summer programmes and all the rest of it. And chartered physiotherapist Larry O'Mahony is with me now to talk about why injuries spike during the school holidays and what we can do about it. Well, maybe the clue is in everything that I just said there, Larry, that yes, they're doing so much more, aren't they, in terms of physical activity in the summer?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Claire. Absolutely. So for a lot of children, they're going from maybe having a winter season where they do very little, and then now suddenly back in February, March, they might be back to two trainings and maybe a match. And then when the summer holidays come, what you see is an increase in structured activity, and that's your camps. They could be at that for a couple of hours a day. Maybe they're doing now a summer league. For some kids, they might be in academy training or development squads, and they're also hanging out with their friends. Okay, and so they're doing the cycling and the trampolining and the swimming. And one thing we don't take into account enough is actually they have then less recovery time. So you see like later bedtimes, maybe more screen time, and then also less routine and maybe more travel. So you're asking a lot more of the body, and the body doesn't have as much time to recover. And I think sometimes we can get confused looking at teenagers, because sometimes they look very grown up, but actually a teenage, an adolescent body is so different to an adult body.
Okay, and they're growing as well, sometimes at a pace, you know, depending on what stage they're at. And that can bring its own problems too, can't it?
Yeah, that brings problems for everybody. Parents going to the shop to try and constantly keep their kids in shoes and clothes. Because boys can experience at certain points, like between 7 to 12 centimetres of growth in less than a year. And so for girls, it can be 8 to 9 centimetres within a year, which is enormous. And that's when you'll see parents talking about their daughters on the pitch and their sons as well, all of a sudden looking clumsy. And they'll say, oh my gosh, yeah, like last year they were moving so well. And this year now, they're a bit clumsy, or they're a bit awkward, or they're all hands and legs. And so the bones will grow first, and then the tendons and the muscles have to catch up. And then your brain has to try and figure out what comes next, because your brain's used to living in the same body for maybe 10 years or, well, for girls, you know, puberty will hit kind of from 8. For boys, generally, it's kind of 10. But your brain is used to like looking after your body, being in control, and now it's a completely different body. So your brain has to catch up as to how well it's giving the commands for running and jumping and landing.
And then you can have problems like Sever's disease, which is, again, the ligaments haven't caught up with the bones. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So Sever's disease, imagine, affects about 16% of adolescents, which is huge. And it is, first of all, it's not a disease. It's a growth related condition. So it really only occurs when adolescents are growing. And what happens is the heel bone can grow very quickly. And we'll all have experienced that when all of a sudden the shoes are really small. And you're like, how did this happen? So the heel bone can grow really quickly. And then the calf muscles and the tendon attaching onto the bone are struggling to catch up. So where they attach onto the bone, the adolescent or athlete can experience irritation and pain. So the good news is that you don't have to stop playing sport. But it's all about load management, okay? And it's looking at how much training is your child or adolescent doing. So then can you manage that a little bit? And then also looking at stretching and flexibility. Footwear is another thing to look at, making sure the football boots are correct.
Sometimes Do you need a lift in the heel?
Yeah, sometimes adding in a heel lift is really useful because it takes the tension off the tendon while the tendon then can lengthen a little bit. So Okay. Lots of things you can do.
So is that the main one that you would be worried about when you look at the summer and all of these additional activities? Or what are the other concerns you have, or what do you see coming to you?
Yeah, we see a lot of Osgood Schlatters as well. And that's like 10 to 20% of adolescents. And that's pain at the front of the knee. And that's a growth related condition as well. And a lot of these conditions are related to load. So once again, coming from that maybe season of doing very little, and then they're thrilled, hopefully the weather is better, they're off school, and then we're up to maybe 10 hours of training. And so then you have your Sever's, are also known as apophyseal calcanitis. Or we also have
The Osgood Schlatters, which you talked about, the pain in the front of the knee. Is the treatment the same for that? Is that stretching and watching how much you're doing, but not complete rest?
Absolutely. Now, there'll be like rare times where you might need complete rest. But often what we're looking at, how can we keep somebody in sport? Because it's really important for their social connection in the summer, for their mood. And so, yeah, so stretching, strength work and reducing training if we need to. Then we'll also see, I suppose, for girls is they're at a much higher risk of ACL injuries.
Yeah, talk to me about that, because that's getting more and more attention of late, isn't it? That women are more likely to experience an ACL injury, women and girls. Do we know why?
Well, there's actually lots of different reasons. So first of all, when we think of puberty and the changes the body experiences, so the pelvis will widen. And so therefore, this can then have an effect on their neuromuscular control. So let's say they're jumping and they're landing. So like the strength then around their hip and their knee and their ankle. Biomechanically, sometimes the knee can fall in a little bit more for girls because the pelvis is wider. Hormonal changes can also have an impact. And then, you know, are they getting sufficient training to kind of combat the fact that some of these factors are at play?
Okay, because what you don't want to have that injury in the first place. So it's trying to avoid the occurrence, isn't it?
That's
ultimately what you want.
And this got real, notice, because it was at the World Cup last year, or the last female World Cup, there was 30 players unable to play because of ACL injuries. And so females are 3 to 7 times more likely to get these injuries. But the good news is that there's really good programs out there that coaches can implement before they do a training session. And they're available online, and they have been shown to reduce risk of ACL injury by 40 to 60%. And so the GAA have a program, that's the GAA 15 plus. So FIFA have, or FIFA 11 plus, I think it's GAA 15. And then rugby have Elevate. So they're really good programs that our athletes should be doing to reduce their risk.
Okay, and well worth it if it's going to reduce the incidence of it by 40 to 60%. You did say there that it's really important to keep them playing, and that's what you want to do while you're treating this. But when do you get to the point where you can't push through, or you shouldn't push through?
Yeah. When you can see that your child is limping, okay, you know, if pain isn't settling within 24 hours, if your child is limping, if they're talking about night pain, if you start to see that their mood changes a little bit, you know, I think sometimes younger people, they're not as good at expressing if they're in pain. And I think if you're seeing mood changes, limping, if there are tissue changes as well, of course, like if you are noticing swelling, redness, heat, that sort of irritation. And then if they're saying to you, I can't go training, you know, these are all kind of really big combined kind of reasons to say maybe we need to stop and have a look at this.
So when that happens, when you have those factors, what is the next step?
So I would always say go and see a chartered physiotherapist. Okay, but in the short term, what you can do is like look at reducing load. So it's load management. And then straight away looking at, as a parent, you know, has your child gone from that 3 hours to maybe 10 hours of training? And can you just take a step back yourself? What we would say when it comes to load is, in the past, there was this like 10% rule, which is very outdated. So modern policies would suggest actually maybe going from 3 hours to 4 to 5 hours. And then the next week, maybe 5 to 6 hours. So maybe you're taking a month to get up to 10 hours of exercise a week. So as a parent, looking at, can you reduce maybe their training load initially? Does that help their symptoms? But definitely, you know, keeping them doing some stretching, keeping them doing some strength training, and you can do that yourself at home. Now, if you're not settling, then, you know, children recover and adolescents recover really quickly. But if they're not settling within a week or two and they can't go training, then I would say it's a good idea to go and see a physiotherapist.
Okay, just a couple of questions coming in. My daughter's turning 10 and stretching. She complains of pain in her limbs after football or swimming. Is it okay to give her pain relief? She seems to be quite sore, particularly when it's obvious that she's taking another growth spurt. I remember the same thing happened to me, and I grew a lot between 11 and 14 and then again at 16.
Yeah, so for girls, the like major growth period will be kind of like 11 to 12. And so you're going to see the biggest changes in growth for them there. Generally, they'll have stopped growing around 16. So I suppose like as a parent, you just have to judge that yourself, or else maybe speak to your GP. I wouldn't recommend being in a position where you're having to give your child pain relief every single night. But I would say that, you know, some of these symptoms, you know, if you can reduce their symptoms with pain relief, and if they're gone the following day, then I think that that's something that, you know, as a parent, if you're happy with that, that's fine.
And a quick one. Now, you're being asked to make a judgment call here, Larry. For an 11, 13 and 16 year old, training for swimming 5 hours and 10 hours a week, respectively. So I'd say the younger ones are doing 5 and the 16 year old is doing 10, as well as one soccer training and a match per week. Is that too much?
I would say
that's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot, but also we have to look at it in the context of how much exercise has that person been doing for a while. Now, the most important thing is getting in a recovery day, Okay, so as long as there's one, bare minimum one recovery day or two recovery days, then the body can adapt. But also if we look at professional sports players, they will have very hard training sessions and then a lighter session. They do not train hard for 5 days a week, and this is their job, okay, to absolutely perform at their best. So I think, how can we expect a 10-year-old to maybe have hard training sessions 7 days a week and still perform? So I would kind of use that as a little bit of a guide. Make sure you're getting some rest days in.
That's good advice, Larry. Thank you so much. That's Larry Thanks O'Mahony, who is a physiotherapist.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.